Will, I want to get in the Word with you, but before that, I want to get rid of any excuses that anybody has. How many of y'all are born again? You don't mind your neighbor knowing it. You're not ashamed of the gospel. Praise God. Amen. They're watching all over the world, you know. Amen. Come on. Let them know we ain't ashamed of the gospel. Why is that so important? Because it's the power of God unto salvation, the power of God. Now, what's that about? Well, that's what makes being a Christian fun. If you're fighting the devil and you don't have the power of God, you're going to lose. But if you're fighting with the power of God, you're going to win. And that's what makes, I mean, why would anybody want to go to church with you if you're losing all day, every day? Well, I mean, eventually you'll quit going, right? Nobody's going to want what you got if you don't want it. So we need this thing to work. If you're 7 feet tall and you can go up and dunk on anybody anytime you want to, playing ball is really fun. You got big hops, you know what I mean? You can just throw the ball in the hole. That's fun. But if you're a little fat white kid and you can't even dribble or shoot, you know what I mean? You getting dunked on all day, that ain't no fun. That's what it's like being a Christian. If you're whipping the devil all day, every day, being a Christian is really fun. It is awesome to walk in victory all day, every day. And that's why we study the Word. A lot of Christians, and I'm talking about the immature ones, they spend more time talking to God about their problems. Well, God already knows your problems. Ain't nothing wrong with talking to Him about it from time to time. But what He said was, bring me in remembrance of my Word. What did I say about the problem? Stop saying what you're saying about. How many of you know the solution is what God says? We have circumstances that result in problems. There's chaos around about us because of sin, because of people's bad choices, because of the fact that we're in the world, but according to the Bible, we're not of it. We're a whole different race of people. We're Christians. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm a tither. Come on. I'm in a whole nother. That Wall Street doesn't even affect me. Come on now. I have a promise from God, and He's honest. Amen. I'm a giver. He gives me seed to sow. Hallelujah. I'm a sower. So, you know, I want to get rid of any excuses you might have. I want to read you a little thing here that I saw recently, and I thought it was funny, so I'm going to share it with you. These are people, you know, God is calling us as we mature and grow up in Christ. We become what you would call ordinary people who can do extraordinary things. That's what we read in all the heroes in the book of Hebrews, all those heroes of faith, that's all they were. They were just regular old people who gave their lives, committed their life to the Lord and trusted Him, and they ended up doing amazing things that we're still talking about today. Let me read you a list of some of those people because I think it'll help you in the long run. Jacob was a cheater. David had an affair. Noah got drunk and Paul was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Sarah was impatient and Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Gideon was a coward. Moses stuttered and Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old and Lazarus was dead. What's your excuse? Come on now. That ought to get rid of some excuses, right? You can do this. How many of you, I had you raise your hand a while ago because I want to remind you, if you're born again, then God has put His super on your natural. When Jesus died for us and He rose again, the first thing He said to His disciples was, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And He said, I'm giving it to you now. Go into all the world. I'm going to sit down to the right hand of the Father. Everything that I needed to accomplish for you guys, I did it. How many of you remember He said, it's finished? Yeah. On the cross, He said, I've given you my name. I've given you my blood. I've given you my word and I've given you my spirit. Or they were actually waiting on that, but it was on the way. He said, now you go and do what I was sent here to do. My anointing, my ministry is going to continue, but it's going to continue in you now. If you are a Christian, the Bible says your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And by the way, if you're not, that's no problem. We'll get to that right before we leave here today. That is a simple fix, the easiest thing you've ever done and the best. Praise God. The beginning of forever is today. So if you're here today and you wonder, can I make a change? Yes, you can. There's a lot of problems in the world around about us. What can you do about it? I've been asking that. You know, I've been watching all this stuff on TV. We've all been seeing the horrible evil of racism. And we've all had been challenged to make courageous conversations. So I've been calling all my friends of color, and I've been having conversations with them. And look, you know, the more that I listen to them and the more that I pray with them, they know I love them and I know they love me, but I ain't gonna never understand what it's like to not be white. I'm always gonna be white, but I do know this. I am an agent for change. When I see evil, I know I'm anointed to do something about that. And if it's only with one person, then praise God, it'll be with one. But if it's with 10,000, glory to God, it'll be with 10,000. And you got to make up your mind. Thank God I was raised in a home. My father was a musician. My father and mother were musicians. And music is not black or white. It's just good or bad. Come on, John, you know what I'm talking about. Music, come on. So if you're going to make music, there ain't none of that. So thank God I wasn't affected by that as a kid. But it's important that we have conversations with our children while they're young and let them know that racism is evil. Right. Say this with me, church. I am an agent for change.
I am an agent for change.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going to do something about this.
I'm going to
do the word. And I'm going to love my neighbor. All of them, no matter what color they are, in Jesus' name. Now, if you're wondering, well, I'm not sure I can do that because I've been hurt so bad and so many things have happened, and I know horrible. I mean, I watched the same video you did. I watched that George Floyd get murdered, and my stomach turned upside down, and I sat in my home weeping. And angry and frustrated, thinking, what can I do about this? My whole life, man, I never had a band that was all white. And I lived in Georgia in the 60s. I checked into hotels where my band, only part of them could check in and some of them couldn't. And we checked out of those places, by the way. And we all stayed together wherever we had to. We did what we knew how to do, but we didn't know how to fix it. But love is the answer. And my Bible tells me that God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. There is no excuse. Wherever you're listening to from this morning, all over the world, I know there's a lot of people watching today. There's no excuse for not loving your neighbor as you do yourself. Don't say you can't forgive. You can. And Jesus said, if you don't, my Father won't forgive you. And I don't know about you, but I can't afford that. No, sir, I've got to have God's mercy. I'm not perfect, I'm Malin. But praise God, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? I just had to get that little business over with. That's been on my heart lately. And we can do something about this. And we're only responsible to do what we can do. But we are responsible for that. Will you join your faith with me now? I've only got a few minutes, and I got a good, important word for you, and I need the anointing to do that, of course. Father, we come to you, sir, in the holy name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for a door of utterance opened unto us this morning. In and by your precious Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us, sir. I thank you for fresh manna from heaven. I thank you not just for me to deliver the word, but for my brothers and sisters to hear past me and hear your voice. And I'll give you glory and honor for it forever, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen. We read in the word that the way you get into the presence of God is you enter his gates with thanksgiving. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's that simple. When you need to get in the presence, how many of you know in his presence there's fullness of joy? If you've been having a hard time lately, in his presence there's fullness of joy. That means it's impossible to be depressed in the presence of God. And anybody can get there that wants to. Here's how we do it. You begin by just finding anything to be thankful for. Now, there's only two kind of people on the earth. There's the gripers and the thankful. And you won't ever get in his presence griping. If you think going to God and telling him how bad everybody else is, he already knows. How many of you know that when you confess your sins, it ain't the first time he finds out about it? Come on now, we're talking about God. Amen? So we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. Now we're getting close to the throne room here, but you got to get in the gates first. And then you get in the courtyard. And then if you keep going, you keep praising him and worshiping him. And it's all about him and not about you. And what the Democrats or the Republicans did, or what the White House did, or what, you know what I'm talking about? No, this is about Jesus. If you're really praising, you're thankful. Amen? You get in the worship room, and that's where, once you start worshiping God, that's where you get in there where the, he said you can come boldly before the throne of grace, and you can find help, mercy. You find help in times of trouble. Has anybody had any trouble this year? I haven't had it all, have I? Come on. It's been an intense year. The good news is, that's what I want to talk to you about today, is there is a place of rest. There's a place in God where you lay it all down. And I have had the most restful year so far in the midst of total chaos. Every church that we had booked since February had to cancel. I mean, we had some churches in California. Right now in California, the governor of California said publicly on TV that church was just a social club. That's what he believes. And so they are allowed to have 100 people, but the pastor has to wear a mask. And the worship band can play, but they can't have any singers. And the worship band has to wear masks. So if they want to rob a bank right after church, they're already ready. You know what? I mean, the world is, they're just freaking out there. So we're in the middle of this, and you know, if you're going to pay for your TV show, you need to go to the churches to meet the needs of the people, but they also help pay for the TV show. Come on, somebody. So it affects everybody, whatever job you got. We've all been affected by this stuff. So you only have two choices. You can freak out like Israel did when it came time to get in the promised land and discuss the giants and long for the onions back in slavery. You know what I mean? And you can run around with the rabble and end up marching around the desert till you die in 40 years. Or you can live by faith and going into the promised land. Now, every time something like this happens, we're tested. James said it this way. He said, is any among you having trials or tribulation? Then rejoice, because it's only the testing of your faith. It's a faith test. This is not about black and white. This is about, are we willing to stay in division and strife? Why is that so important? Because where there's division and strife, there'll be confusion and eventually every evil work. What's the big deal about confusion? Well, when you start talking to God about the solution and how to get out of the mess, you're confused and you can't hear God. You don't know the difference in your brain and his voice. The devil knows if he can get us Christians fighting among ourselves and divided over anything, a family, a church, a nation, it doesn't matter. If he can get us in division and strife, he can get our power. Why? Because wherever two gather together in my name, he said, I'll be there. Here comes the peace. Here comes the anointing. He said, wherever two agree touching anything on earth, God said, I'll do it. The power of agreement is what the devil's after. The devil is trying to get any of us looking at each other about anything. All it is he knows his time is short, and he's trying to knock our focus off. People, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus these days. It's getting close. I'm 75 years old. When I was a kid, my dad was in the Navy. It was the Second World War in 1944. I don't know how many, they called it the World War, but I think there was less than 15 nations in that war. I can't remember exactly. It's been a long time since I was in school. But it did affect the whole world, and so they called it a world war. But this is the first time in my life where there's people dying over a flu bug in every nation on the earth at the same time. Now, what's the deal? Is it possible that God is trying to wake up the world and let them know it's time to pay attention? If doctors could fix it, if scientists could fix it, they already would have. If Wall Street, man, they've been throwing trillions of dollars at this. White House can't fix it. It's God time, y'all. It's time to look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Now, here's the deal. When there's a test going on, remember what kind of test it is? Yeah, it's not political. It's not racial. This is a test of who do you believe and what do you believe? Because if you believe God, he promised to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is he honest? Then he's going to do it. Now, he might not do it when you want him to. He has never, so far my experience is, he's never allowed me to be God. No matter how much I fast and pray or hold my hands up for another hour when my arms are hurting or go to all night prayer meetings and run around and dance and do the boogaloo, you know, I have not ever been able to convince God to do anything. He still tells me what to do. But that's a good thing because he knows what to do. He don't make any mistakes. He's never had to fix any of his choices. Now, we only have a choice when we're tested. How do you pass the test? If it's a test of faith, it's real simple. Again, you know, Jesse says you have to have a theologian to make this complicated. You know, how do you pass the faith test? You keep believing God. Now, here's the problem in the church. Sometimes people don't, my wife was telling you, the reason we call our TV show On the Road to Freedom is because Jesus said, if you continue in my word, God wouldn't have told me to continue. I've been reading the Bible every day for 40 years. I got born again when I was 35, I'm 75. Every day I pray in the Holy Ghost. Man, I am seeking. I mean, I had already done every crazy thing I wanted to do, and I found out the hard way that Mylon does not know how to be Lord. And when I surrendered my will to Jesus, I didn't just give him my problems. I'd done that as a teenager. My daddy made me go to church every time the door opened. My daddy is a big old redneck from Tennessee, and he did not negotiate with his kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When my daddy said, you go into church on Sunday, you could, had a choice. You could stay home and die. But just thinking about it, you was in the valley of the shadow, people. I mean, don't even hesitate. So I went to church, but I also went with the thought that one of these days I'm going to be big as daddy and I'm out of here. And so I went out and I sowed my oats and I ended up on my knees begging God for another chance. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. And I was a heroin addict for you that don't know my testimony, but I have not done one drug since that day. Not one time. I hadn't been drunk. I mean, God is so good. Man, if you think you got some problems that it's too late, remember that Lazarus was dead. That's pretty late. My way of thinking, once you're dead, that's really late. But it ain't too late for God. Come on now. What do you need from him? Because if you're willing to continue, in His Word. Now, we don't just read a little bit every day. On the way to church, even though we're preaching today, we're over here saying, Lord, we know that You have revelation that we need. Paul said it this way in Ephesians. He said, God, that You would grant us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the intimate knowledge of God. If you pick up your Bible in the morning, you get you a cup of coffee, and you sit down there and you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to start today hanging with You today. But I'm going to read here a little bit, and I don't want to just waste my time. I don't want my mind on other things. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord, to focus. Help me to hear Your voice. How many of you know when you read the Bible, that's God talking to you? That's the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is your teacher. And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as you allow Him to speak to you, the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. You are a spirit. You live in a body. You have a soul, but you are a spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, is in constant communication with your spirit. And He will interpret and let you know the things that you need to know and prepare you for the time to come. Now, if you believe God is honest, the more words you get, the better the quality of your life is. Can I get an amen on that, Pastor? The more word that you understand, the Bible says wisdom's the principal thing, with it to get understanding. Understanding is just a simple, practical application of the Word of God to your everyday life. The more of that you have inside you, the wiser you're going to be. Now, I didn't say the smarter. I'm not talking about intellect. I'm talking about knowing, having the mind of Christ. I don't need to know everything everybody else knows, but I do need to know what God knows. I need the truth, because the truth will make me His disciple. Now I have a choice. I don't have to follow Him. That's what a disciple does, is a follower of Christ. But I have a choice, and if I choose to do what I see my Savior doing, what I see my Father doing. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. So if you do what Jesus did in every situation, you're going to be fine. And He will show you the things which are to come, and He will prepare you so that when everybody else is freaking out, you can take a nap. I'm talking about entering the rest now. Let's put up Hebrews 4:17, please. I'm sorry, I take that back. I'm going to put up Hebrews 4, verse 1 in the Amplified, please. Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think He has come too late and has come short of reaching it. Verse 2, for indeed we have had the glad tidings proclaimed to us, just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. Now, we are the faith people. Say this with me. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I am not a doubter.
I am not hoping the Word works.
I expect it to happen in my house. I'm a person of faith.
I believe God is honest.
And I believe He loves to prove His Word for me.
And His love for me.
Hallelujah. For Hebrews 4 and 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. What does it mean to rest in God? To cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. Will He take care of you if you cast all your care on Him? Yes, He will. I'm testifying now. I'm not telling you just quoting a scripture to you. I'm telling you, Christy and I live this. What are we going to do about the bills for the TV show? Nothing. We're going to keep tithing and giving and waiting on the Lord, and He's going to take care of it like He always has. We don't have any debt. He always has taken care of it. He ain't going to quit being holy tomorrow. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And they're plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And they're full of hope and a future. How many of you know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? That means the plan hadn't changed. What about COVID-19? What about it? What about the riots? There's no, the things that you can't control, cast the care of that on the Lord. Yeah, pray about it. Do what you can. Love everybody. He said, what is the work of God? Let me read you one verse. John 6:28 in the King James Version says, then they said to Jesus, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. What works does God need you to do? He needs you to believe. And without believing him, it's impossible to please him. And I know you want to please him. I don't know about you. I don't want to play church. I don't want to be a religious guy. I want God to enjoy me the way I enjoy. I want him to enjoy me being his child like I enjoy him being my father. He's been good to me. He's the only one that didn't remind me of all the stuff I did. Cast my sins into a sea of forgetfulness. Never brought it up again. You don't know what I did. You wouldn't listen to me preach. I was a disgusting sinner. You know, some people act like they ain't ever done anything wrong. The Bible, you know, if practice makes perfect, I was an excellent sinner. And I came to Jesus and he cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Declared me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And started blessing me. He started treating me, you know, Jesus took on himself all that I deserve so that he could give me what he deserves. My life is amazing. It is amazing to walk with God. It is amazing to enjoy his love every single day. And if you've never been there, I want to pray with you and I want to encourage you to enter that rest. I want to just bow your head right quick. I'm out of time and I got to do this quick. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not just your Savior, your Lord and Master, if you've never surrendered your will to God, if you've only given him your problems and your sins and not your hopes and dreams and your future, then I want to pray with you right quick. But it's important for you to humble yourself and admit that you do need God's help. Is there anybody here? Everybody bow your head, please. Everybody close your eyes. Please give everybody around you just a little bit of privacy for 30 seconds. If you're here this morning and you've never made that decision, slip your hand up. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray with you. Anybody? Slip your hand up right quick. Let me see you. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you, my master. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, man. Excellent decision. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, son. Excellent, excellent. Wise decision. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? You're getting things straight now so you can have God's best. Anybody else, right before we pray? Pray this with me, everybody. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I repent of my sins. And I take responsibility for my mistakes. And I bow before you, Father. And I receive Jesus as my Lord and Master, my Savior, my King. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to, you who are doing good, say this with me. I got one last confession. God's listening. Just because we're looking now, just because we're not bowing our head, God's listening. Say this with me. Today, I enter the rest of God. I cast my care on him because I believe he cares for me.
I believe the word of God today.
It says I was
healed
by his stripes.
I believe it.
And I receive it.
I believe I'm prospering today.
I believe I'm the head and not the tail.
And I have the joy of the Lord.
And it is my strength.
And I am strong in the Lord.
And in the power of his might.
Today I will be led
by the Spirit of the living God.
You're a bunch of champions.
And I love you.
And I'm so honored and thankful that you allowed us to share Jesus with you today.
I promise you that I'll be praying for you.
Will you guys pray for us?
It's going to be a great year.
Rest. It's all right.
God is still in control. Jesus is still Lord.
It's going to be a good year.